Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, Seth Emerson on the line with us to talk about the Dawgs. And it seems like we just caught up with Seth, you know, after the Sugar Bowl. But we want to call the guys that are in the know. And Seth is one of those guys. And we certainly appreciate you jumping back on Dukes and Bell, Seth. Let's start before we get to where we are currently. Let's go back to yesterday or even maybe 48 hours ago. When the rumors were out there about Eddie Grand coming from Kentucky, was he offered the job, and were those reports accurate?
Well, this season, by that I mean the coaching season, you're going to hear two different versions when something like that happens. You're going to hear from the school that he is staying at that, oh, yeah, he was offered, and he's staying because he loves it there. And you're going to hear from the one that was talking to him that, no, this is, you know, talk to him, no official offer made. There's a way for that to happen and for both sides to be right, which is no official offer gets extended unless you know the other person is prepared to accept it. We all know that. We've all been in that business where, you know, even in our business it's handled that way.
Right.
But I also did not hear from anybody on my end before it came out that he wasn't coming here, that he had been offered the job, for what it's worth. And for what it's worth, since Tuesday night, I guess that's when the Jim Chaney news hit, right off the bat, I heard James Coley. And you can check my Twitter feed. I sent out two tweets right, saying, news, Jim Chaney's leaving for Tennessee. And then right on top of it, I said, James Coley is expected to be a candidate. I might have even said prime candidate. I heard that in rapid succession when I got confirmation that Chaney was leaving. So I do think all along James Coley was probably the guy, and that Kirby Smart probably didn't want to make a decision too fast on it, because all of a sudden you've got $2.5 million basically to play with Mel Tucker and Jim Chaney's salaries coming off the books. So right, you talk to someone like Dan Enos, who's done a good job, but he's only at Kentucky, quote-unquote. You kick the tire, you know what I mean, Dan Enos, I'm jumping ahead.
Right.
But you talk to anybody you can talk to, and say, could there be a fit here? You know, could we have a co-coordinator situation? How would that work? And et cetera, et cetera. But I think today around noon, I think that's about when it was announced, you have the Dan Enos thing come out, you have the on the heels of the Eddie Grand thing yesterday, I suspect that Kirby Smart said, you know what, we know what we're doing, let's just get it done and announce it to the world.
It's our man Seth Emerson from Athletic Guys. Follow Seth. Go pick up the script. It's worth it, brother. And follow your Dawgs throughout the year. He joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Seth, the one concern for Dawg fans, obviously, was Sam Pittman, you know, came in with Chaney. And he's good, right? And now he'll get a bump, as you said?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we have those open records requests in, and I expect that he's getting a bump. Interesting that you would expect Alabama and Nick Saban would pull up the Brinks truck to get Pittman, but right, I'm not seeing him mentioned right now. Bruce Feldman hasn't mentioned him. I haven't seen him on some other list. That would indicate that unless something changes, that something has already happened to ensure that Sam Pittman is not going anywhere.
And by the way, the Chaney raise, was that under the radar? I mean, that's kind of strange how we found out that he got a bump and it was extended beyond where his current contract was.
Well, I don't know about the bump yet. He got an extension at some point. His Claude Felton, the UGA spokesman, kind of told me earlier in the week, I think Monday, when we were checking around when the rumors had started, and I kind of looked at his contract again, and I said, well, actually, if I look at this, you know, I'm looking at his original contract, it's expired. It expired once the Sugar Bowl ended, and we never got any word of an updated deal of an updated contract. And he told me, Claude did, well, his contract runs through June 2021. I'm like, well, when did that happen? So we're still waiting on that. Still waiting to find out what the deal was there. I suspect something happened and just got kind of lost in the mail.
It is Seth Emerson talking about the Dogs, guys, and getting us caught up on the latest with the coaching situation. Is some of these moves, again, you know, some of this is the shell game and these coaches moving coaches around. And I think Kirby had an idea of what he wanted to do, but you have to wonder, again, what were they thinking about going out of the house to hire somebody? With the information you're telling us, Seth, and, you know, with the bumps and everything that we're talking about, I want to go back to Chaney real quick. When the Dogs don't match this, and I had a guy ask me this the other day, he said, was this just simply the Dogs not wanting to? Because they could have. It's not like they don't have the money. And right. then that lends, right. lends me to another question, which is, okay, was it just they wanted Chaney to be gone?
Well, a couple of things. Number one, if they wanted him to be gone, that would have been done a long time ago. You could say you wait for someone to take him off your hands if you want him to leave, but that's not the way it works. I think what happened here was when Tennessee came to him and when word came to Kirby Smart that, you know, Jim Chaney has this lucrative offer for $1.5 million, they said, well, the plan was to keep Jim at $950,000 a year or around $1 million or whatever his salary was, but at $1.5 million, when that happens, and I wrote this on The Athletic when this broke, or I think it may have Wednesday. Last year, the division in salaries on the coaching staff between the offense and the defense was almost exactly even, with special teams coach Scott Fountain off on the side, not counting him in either column. Well, when Mel Tucker's 1.5 comes off the books, if you increase Jim Chaney to 1.5, and then Sam Pittman is getting an increase, Del McGee may be getting one. It's starting to really tilt in one direction, and that kind of thing matters. You know, Georgia has the money, but at some point you don't want to go too crazy. So right. I think they just said, you know, and the other thing is Jim Chaney wasn't he wasn't an outstanding recruiter. He was, I mean, we can debate his play calling skills. I think he was pretty good with some deficiencies. But recruiting, you know, he wasn't a liability, but he wasn't an all-star either. And so I think they just ultimately made the decision, well, you know, we're going to say thanks, Jim, and we've got a pretty good coordinator right here, we think, in James Coley, and go that way.
Right, and that's the thing, Seth, is Seth Emerson joins us, guys, from The Athletic here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Duke Sabel, we're live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Was the Chaney thing because of the Sam Pittman? And obviously Sam Pittman is worth his weight in gold as far as the quality of the offensive line, the recruitment, the play. Yeah. They got great depth. But to me, Chaney's like a glorified journeyman.
Yeah, I think, and there's people now saying, I hear from people, oh, he's going to retire in Athens. He loves it here. Well, okay. Well, if you want to believe that, okay. And maybe he does. But I think there's a chance Kirby Smart retires in Athens. He's 43 years old, so we're looking way down the line. I think in today's day and age, assistants move on. You know, I remember talking to Brett Bielema for a story on Pittman last summer, and he said he thought that the next move was probably the NFL for Pittman. He's that highly regarded. Now, part of what makes him so highly regarded is that he's a good recruiter, and you don't recruit in the NFL, so maybe that helps him stay here. But, you know, this is going to be fascinating to watch. I mean, I think Sam Pittman is going to be back at Georgia in 2019 unless something unexpected happens. But without Jim Chaney there, you know, how does he feel? How does he get along with everybody else? That's something to watch. When you look at the way Georgia fans feel about the staff they have, you know, they don't want to lose Kirby, obviously, but Pittman's the one after that they're like, build a force field around him, keep him around.
Interesting. Seth Emerson joining us here on Dukes and Bell. We're live at Twin Peaks, guys. Happy Friday. Trying to get the latest insight into the Dogs and what's been going on with the program in college football. As we move towards, you know, this final signing date in February. We asked this question the other day, and you know, we had another guy on the other day who was saying, listen, the Dogs are going to be one or two in this recruiting class. It's right. going to be Alabama or Georgia. How do you see that, and what do you think the missing piece is for the Dogs to be number one overall?
Well, I haven't broken down the numbers, so you're probably asking the wrong guy there.
Okay.
But I will say this. I mean, they're in that range, and that, again, speaks to how well they've recruited, and just that's great. That's where you want to be. What I will say is it now comes down to we have to evaluate, you know, number one, holding on to this talent and developing it. I would be interested to see, and I'm just spitballing here because I think things have probably happened to Alabama and the teams that were behind Georgia in the rankings, but what if you re-ranked Georgia's 2018 recruiting class without Justin Fields and without Luke Ford?
Hmm.
You could do this for a lot of things. Like I said, look at the teams behind you, and you know they've probably had some attrition that doesn't occur to me because I don't cover them. And you would look at that class and say, well, one of the most productive members of it so far was the lowest rated one, Jordan Davis. You know, the only three-star really that, well, he wasn't literally the lowest rated. He wasn't literally the only three-star, but he was a three-star. And so he's outperformed expectations. Does that make up for it? But yeah, I mean, there's some guys that Georgia can still go for, but I think they've pretty much got the core of the class right now and some really good players. I think this class has the potential to contribute more immediately than relatively the 2018 did right away, because this class has guys that need positions. I mentioned Jordan Davis, but they still need bodies and good bodies on the defensive line. They've got that with a few guys like Trayvon Walker, the five-star. They need edge rushers with DeAndre Walker graduating and some other guys that they're still waiting to develop. They've got that in the JUCO transfer, Jermaine Johnson, Nolan Smith, the five-star high school recruit. So N'Kobe Dean could come in and contribute right away at inside linebacker, which is a new area. So it's going to be interesting to see how quickly this 2019 class contributes. I think it could be very soon.
Always appreciate the insight, guys. Seth Emerson, if you missed it earlier, seemed like that Eddie Grant thing was a lot of hot air. Hey, man, we always appreciate the insight, Seth. Have a good weekend, man. We'll be pulling your brain soon again. Thanks again.
Anytime, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.